You're listening to a mini episode of the Enterprise Now Show, where we change lives through enterprise.
Okay, so we go to school, we are doing the rotation.
Yep.
What did we learn at the various stops?
Oh, man.
That we added to our tool belt.
Absolutely. Let's see. It was a few things. So when I first moved to North Carolina, one, I wanted to move further south. You know, speaking of winter, I was like, I've got to go. I didn't want to go to University of Wisconsin-Madison at first. And it was just from like a silly 18-year-old, I want to go south mentality. I wasn't considering programs or anything like that. I was just like, no, I've been here my whole life. I want to go south. But Wisconsin had an amazing program. Like once I actually read up on things and considered my future realistically, they did have a great program and there were better scholarships in state. So I was there, but then I went to North Carolina and I was like, okay, I've arrived. I made it finally, you know, south. And I was still very introverted and I was in this beautiful southern state in the apartment every weekend. So one of my first learnings or challenges for myself was to go out every weekend and speak to three people. And even though I loved my routine of going to get me some sushi and a bottle of wine and my movies and just chill out, I also needed to explore the new space I was in. So that was my biggest learning around trying to come out of my shell a bit. There weren't many cases where I didn't have something to say. I just chose not to. So I needed to do that there because I didn't know anyone otherwise outside of the people I worked with. And they were an interesting group. So
nice way to say it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I had to adjust that way. So that was one of my biggest learnings there. When I then moved to Mattoon, there were stretches of loneliness again. And I've already gotten into the groove of going out, talking to people. But it was very, very difficult there. I actually lived in Charleston, which is like 10 minutes away, but it's a totally different town. And the plant I was working at was in Mattoon. But it was still difficult to meet people and not even just network, but just have something outside of work. So I drove home a lot, which probably did me a disservice at that time. But I was like, okay, it's like 5.5 hours, so just pack up my bag on Friday and get on the road as soon as I'm off. But I think the learning there was that I do need people. As much of an introvert that I am and as much as I did enjoy my alone time, having a balance is important also, which is why I was driving home. After that, I went to Lexington, Kentucky, and that was the first time I was a manager over people. And it was a union plant, which definitely added more spice to the learning.
Spice is what we're calling it.
Yeah, spice. Yeah. I don't know how well I am off the cuff, so I think spice works. It was definitely some spicy times. You know, I had grievances written up on me that I had to dispute, and just working with a group of people that saw me as a kid, didn't respect my position. And I was on second shift, too, so I was the only salaried person on the entire shift. So it was my team, plus the maintenance team, plus the quality guy. And, you know, those people, of course, didn't report to me. I had nothing to do with their salaries, but I still needed to manage every person in the plant as the only member of the leadership team. So that was a lot, too, for me.
And how old are you at this point?
I was 26.
So you're a 26-year-old.
Yep.
Relatively soft-spoken,
yeah.
Black woman,
mm-hmm.
leading probably mostly non-Black people.
Correct.
In a management supervisory position. I just want to, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Add
absolutely.
That context. In Lexington, Kentucky.
In Lexington, Kentucky, you know, where they love their football and horses and Confederate flags. And I was like, oh, come on, y'all. Like, even the grievances were like, wait, what? I remember one that it actually annoyed me to go in there and dispute the grievance, because this particular guy volunteered for the fire department. So you can imagine his build already, right? And I had asked him to do something where things were falling and it was actually a hazard because it was breaking and glass was shattering. So I was like, hey, you need to clean that up. And he said, okay. I did my rounds again. I came back. It was still there. I was like, no, you need to clean that up. He's like, okay, I'll get to it. I said, okay. Came back. It's still there. I'm like, okay, you need to get that up. Like, seriously, it's a hazard. You can cut yourself. Someone else can cut yourself. Like, you need to do it. And he kept saying, well, I said, I'll do it. So I said, okay, I'll wait. Because clearly when I walk away, you don't do it, right? So I waited. And he purposely did not do it, where I needed to call another person to come and just clean it up, because the point of it was, it really was a hazard, right? Like, if someone were to get hurt, that was my neck. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, he had written up a grievance that I was bullying and intimidating him, clean up the broken glass. And I'm just like, I would really prefer to tell y'all things once. Honestly, that's why I said it and walked away. If I wanted to stand over you, then I could have did that the first time. But it was grievances like that that I had to, even though I was annoyed, had to go in there, listen to them. But that was the one that I was like, I'm not apologizing. Mm-hmm. You are not going to twist this in a way where I need to apologize to you.
So that's impressive to me, because at that age, a lot of times that situation goes differently, right? So what was it about your mindset, your training, your maturity that enabled you to handle that so professionally and maturely? Because I know, I'm just speaking for me, that probably wouldn't have gone the same way.
The grievous dispute part, or
the whole situation, like the whole environment, right?
Yeah.
This is, I think you said this is your third. Yep. This is your third rotation at mm-hmm. this point. So you've really polar opposites, I imagine, right? So North Carolina mm-hmm. is quite different than Mattoon.
Yeah.
It's quite different than, right? And so
yes.
to manage all of that change, those differences, different personalities, different contexts, like, how do you do that? Because that's not easy.
I think I would give credit to my family. We all have very big personalities, which people who are closer to me, when they see me with my family, they're almost shocked, like, oh, okay. Because we're loud and we riff on each other all the time. And it's such a loving environment, but we've learned each other well enough, which I think people and families do. Like, we give each other the grace to learn each other, that we're able to flex. So I think that gave me a little bit of the insight on how to adjust. I mean, coming from Mattoon, quite honestly, I was the only Black person, not Black woman, but Black person in that entire facility. And then there was, oddly enough, another woman that was mixed race who was not as proud of being Black as I was. So that's why I feel as though I was the only, because there were things that I would think or feel or notice, and she seemed a little bit just aloof to sometimes. So I was already happy to be in Lexington to see more of us. So it was a plus on that end. And I just wanted to use a lot of the things that I learned from Mattoon and take it there and really understand how people see me, right? When I was in Mattoon, for example, one of my new hires came on and he was asking me a ton of questions about where I'm from and what did I study, the school that I went to. He had a ton of questions. And I thought they were genuine questions because he was new and he's trying to get to know his supervisor, which I was kind of a dotted line supervisor. I wasn't direct as I was in Lexington. But then at the end of the conversation, this man literally said to me, oh, well, I feel good that you're not a diversity hire. And I was like, oh, okay. Thanks for that. You know, so it was very clear how people are going to perceive me, how people, whether they voice it or not, what they're possibly thinking about me. And the fact that it was common sense that if there's hot glass on the floor, you need to clean it up. Quite honestly, you should have cleaned it up before I even walked around there to notice it, right? But I just was aware how he saw me and try to manage the situation on the principles alone and not be emotional about it. Not to say that I was not. I had a lot of opportunities where I could have blown off the handle, but instead I went to my car and took lunch outside or just something, because I also just did not want to allow people to see how they affected me. And I internalized a lot of that. And I was proud of myself in those moments, but it was those few things, like in that one where I said, I'm not apologizing. I am not. I will go through this thing. I get it. I will hear you out. I will explain my perspective, but I will not apologize to you, because this, that is what I'm going to hold on to out of this.
Mm-hmm. So Missouri, where did we land in Missouri?
Columbia.
Columbia.
Yes.
How's that?
You know, another small town. So it was okay. I was a member of a member of National Society of Black Engineers. And at that time, I had joined the regional board of Region 5. So I was able to connect with the collegiate students there and with the other professionals on my board and across the region. So that did help, like, with that connection piece. But again, at work. And that's why I had these moments of why, like, I'm good at this. Like, just let me do my thing and go. But I did have situations there where I was just challenged often, and I was unclear why to that magnitude. I wasn't unclear as to why, but to the magnitude of which things were pushed. I remember being in a meeting, and I had put a presentation together to share the upcoming schedule of material and things. And I was taking over for someone, and the product manager, I guess, was used to seeing it that particular way of the previous person. But to me, it had a lot of noise. Like, all of this stuff on the slide is not necessary. No one even asked questions because I shadowed for a while. They don't even acknowledge these other things. Let's make this clean and concise was my goal. And almost at the sight of the pitch being different, he was immediately upset, like yelling, bamming his fists on the table. And I'm like, yo, it's not that serious. Like, it's really not. If you listen to me for a second, we can walk through this beyond the time that you even threw your tantrum. Like, we could have been through this already. And then the lack of support, you know, I expressed my concern to HR after that. And she's like, oh, well, I've known him for years, so I don't know what you want me to do about that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, where am I? You know, and so I had many, many cases like that, like, where I was almost just forced to internalize a lot because I knew I had things to lose. I knew that I would take the brunt of anything that fell out, and I didn't have the flexibility to do so. So I had a lot of quiet yelling moments by myself. And it's funny, like, even venting to my friends to this day, one of them called Missouri misery. She's like, I'm so happy you moved from misery. I was like, yeah, it was rough. It was rough. But yeah, I think just weighing out the options, like, I just knew I wasn't on the winning side. So how could I best win holistically if I'm looking at the bigger picture?
Got it. So from Columbia, what was the next stop?
I came back to Milwaukee, which was so strange because I love home, right? And, you know, my mom's here, my sisters and everyone was here. But the reality of me not being here since I was 18 was very clear. And I came back, I think, with the mindset of this is home. Like, I could just jump into the groove of everything. But it had been maybe 7 or 8-ish years, and plus college, so closer to like maybe 12-ish, actually, 11 or 12. And it was not the same. Like, my friends were in different places in their lives. Some of them had even moved out of the state at this point. And I almost need to go back into my tool bag of, okay, what did I do when I went to North Carolina? What did I do when I went to Ohio and Kentucky and all of these things where I kind of really needed to reinsert myself. Even though this was home and, you know, I love Milwaukee as home, I felt like an outsider, almost as an imposter. So I needed to do the same things that I did in the other cities and states that I moved to.
Thank you so much for listening. If you got value from the show, all I ask is that you share it with one other person
you think would also enjoy the content. And we would love to connect with you on social media as well.